ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति chant verses 40 to 44, chapter 18. Nata dasti prithivyam vaha, nata dasti prithivyam vaha, divideveshu vapunaha, divideveshu vapunaha, satvam prakriti jair bhuktam, satvam prakriti jair bhuktam, यदेभिश्चात्रिभिर्गुणैः न तदस्ति पृथिव्यां वा दिविदेवेषु वा पुनः सत्त्वं प्रकृतिजयभुक्तं यदेभिश्चात्रिभिर्गुणैः ब्राह्मणक्षत्रियविशां ब्राह्मणक्षत्रियविशां शूद्राणां च परन्तप शूद्राणां च परन्तप कर्माणि प्रविभक्तानि कर्माणि प्रविभक्तानि स्वभावप्रभवैर्गुणैः स्वभावप्रभवैर्गुणैः ब्राह्मणक्षत्रियविशां शूद्राणां च परन्तप कर्माणि प्रविभक्तानि स्वभावप्रभवैर्गुणैः शमोधमस्तपशौचं शमोधमस्तपशौचं शान्तिराजवमेव च शान्तिराजवमेव च ज्ञानं विज्ञानमास्तिक्यं ज्ञानं विज्ञानमास्तिक्यं ब्रह्मकर्मस्वभावजं ब्रह्मकर्मस्वभावजं शमोधमस्तपशौचं शान्तिराजवमेव च ज्ञानं विज्ञानमास्तिक्यं ब्रह्मकर्मस्वभावजम् शौर्यं तेजोधृतिर्धाक्ष्यं शौर्यं तेजोधृतिर्धाक्ष्यं युद्धे चाप्यपलायनं युद्धे चाप्यपलायनं दानमीश्वरभावश्च दानमीश्वरभावश्च शास्त्रं कर्मस्वभावजम् शास्त्रं कर्मस्वभावजम् शौर्यं तेजोधृतिर्धाक्ष्यं युद्धे चाप्यपलायनं दानमीश्वरभावश्च शास्त्रं कर्मस्वभावजम् कृषिगौरक्ष्यवाणिज्यं कृषिगौरक्ष्यवाणिज्यं वैश्यकर्मस्वभावजं वैश्यकर्मस्वभावजं परिचर्यात्मकं कर्म परिचर्यात्मकं कर्म शूद्रस्यापि स्वभावजं शूद्रस्यापि स्वभावजं कृषिगौरक्ष्यवाणिज्यं वैश्यकर्मस्वभावजं परिचर्यात्मकं कर्म शूद्रस्यापि स्वभावजम् So the seven aspects of personality has been covered so far. The seven aspects are initiation, knowledge, actor, action, intellect, consistency, and happiness. So renunciation, actor, action, knowledge, intellect, consistency and happiness. So I will send you the chart by email. Don't be in a hurry. Honestly, you read it. One by one. Take your time, understand it fully. And then you can start blocking your percentage as on date. Be honest, no need to impress or anybody here. You just have to do an exercise after having understood it correctly. It will kind of work like a mirror. So it will work where you can find out where you stand. And it need not necessarily be so precise today, as your understanding becomes deeper, it will become more precise. But it's okay, you start there while bullying by doing the exercise. Then you find out where you are. And the goal of life we have studied, it is to move from tamas to rajas to sattva and beyond. So if X amount of tamas, rajas and sattva you find out today is present in you, do the exercise after 1 year and find out if the tamas and rajas is reducing and sattva is increasing. Then you know that you are moving in the right direction. So the idea of all this study is nothing but investment in oneself. The fundamental that goes in the growth of individual is investment of time in the individual. If your investment is totally on the body will grow. But the mind and intellect need not grow. If your intellect, if your focus is so much in the mind, then the mind may grow but intellect and body may be neglected. When the investment is in the intellect, then what happens?
All grow.
Because your intellect tells you what is
the balance.
That's right. When you are focused only on the body grows. You focus on the mind grows. When it is on the intellect, all three grows. If you develop intellect. If your focus is only in the intellectual aspect of the intellect, then only the intellectual aspect grows.
Like we were discussing before the class.
Shweta was saying I don't read some of those verses. Yesterday I said that other class, Because I thought that ladder of fall and ladder of rise was discussed in that particular lecture. I gave the lecture in Kolkata. So I thought it would be useful. The ladder of fall we discussed in the second chapter, verse 62 and 63. The ladder of rise which we discussed in that is from Rajagovinda. So once you see this, how a person falls, how a person can rise. So both in one lecture, that's why I sent it. So she apparently heard the lecture and she said, when you are quoting these verses, though I understood the concept we have read somewhere, but I couldn't recollect as to which chapter it was. For which I said, it doesn't matter. So if your focus is too much in the intellectual aspect, then you may recollect these things. Which words, what Krishna is saying there, here, there. But once you understand the concept and internalize it, right, then you develop the intellect. And when the intellect is developed, then automatically you will spend some time in developing the mind, you will spend some time in developing the body. There will be an overall development. So, the whole crux is spending some time with yourself. The more you invest systematic investment on a daily basis, when you do, suddenly you get the power of compounded interest. You understand? And that comes because the habit also gets formed, you start relishing, the life starts becoming more and more enjoyable, and then you are comparatively experience the higher joy, so your mind will never go back to the low. That's the way to progress. So therefore, do this exercise after thoroughly studying. In fact, based on this, I do a retreat or a corporate program for the companies, maybe a full day program or 2-3 days program, and finally I give them this chart. And they plot and they kind of find out where you are and then how to, which are the areas where I am weak. It becomes clear. So it is a scripture, it's a mirror. It shows where you stand. And then you can start improving yourself. Now having discussed this, now he goes on to talk about who, according to the permutation combination of these gunas, is a brahmana, who is a kshatriya, who is a vaishya, who is a shudra. And then he says, each one according to their nature should be in the respective field, supplementing and complementing each other. Now, I already told you, the 18th chapter is only a summary of all that he has already explained. So this Swadharma concept we studied also in the third chapter. Shreya Swadharmo Vigunaha Paradharma Anushtita Swadharme Nidhanam Shreyaha Paradharmo Vayavahaha. He said in verse 35, chapter 3. Where he said each one must follow their Swadharma and not follow the Paradharma. Swadharma, dharma means nature, swa means one's own. Paradharma, dharma means nature, para means alien, so alien nature. So Swadharma means one's own nature, Paradharma means alien nature. So one should follow one's Swadharma. Now the Swadharma is interpreted as nature, some people interpret it as duty. But what Sri Krishna is trying to say here is, your duty in life should be in accordance to your nature. And the nature means permutation, combination of sattva, rajas and tamas. If sattva is predominant, after that rajas is predominant and then tamas, that means you are SRP. Sattva, rajas, tamas. SRP. S is more predominant. Then R. Then P. You understand? So then you will fall under brahmana. If you are RST, rajas, then sattva, then tamas, then you become a kshatriya. Right? If you are RTS, rajas, tamas and sattva, then you are a vaishya. If you are TRS, tamas, rajas, sattva, shudra. Okay, now,
I just have a question.
Yes.
Do we fold according to the work that is...
I'm coming to that. I'm actually going to talk about it. So you, when I talk about it, I think your question will be answered. According to work you ask, na? I will answer.
No, madam, is it necessary that sattva is highest in the dhammas only? Cannot be higher in the...
It is not...
It is not sattva.
It's not that sattva is highest in Brahmins. Whoever sattva is highest, he is a Brahmin.
Because he is a Brahmin.
No, we don't know. Don't explain that. Don't explain that. There are three things you must remember. Janma, Karma, Guna. These three words in Sanskrit. For Janma, which means birth. Karma, which means action. Guna, which means qualities, nature, your mind, temperament. Right? Today in the world, the caste system is based on Janma. Right? Certain people are called as Brahmanas, and if you are born in the family, you automatically become a Brahman. This kind of caste system is Janma based. Is it okay? Next is karma. There are certain activities which are considered brahmanical, like teaching, preach, etc. Right? So if you are doing that, then you are a brahmana. Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Then comes gunas. So what Krishna always mentions in the Gita, you see, guna karma vibhagashaha. According to the guna, the karma should be. According to the guna, the karma should be. Now, if you are SRP, then you are Brahman by nature, by guna. And you are most suited for doing karma which are Brahman. Right. Today in the world what is happening is, they claim superiority simply because they are born in a Brahmin family, but the karma they will be doing, Vaishya karma, maybe. Are you with me? And guna may be completely different, maybe Shudra or maybe Kshatriya. There is this kind of total confusion going on. So as per the scriptures, what they did is, These gunas are there in nature. Right? Gunas are there in nature. Now, it is just for your information I'm saying, if you don't, if you're not able to completely imbibe this, doesn't matter. In the scriptures they clearly say that from subtle has come this gross. Right? For example, a pen. Before it takes the gross form and becomes a pen as an object, it has taken the subtle form in your thought. Correct? You conceive it, you design it, then you design a prototype, and then you come up with the actual product. So, subtle, say gross, always happens, grossification. Correct? Similarly, these elements that you see in the world, these elements that you see in the world are gross elements. Before that they were subtle elements. And there itself they start talking about guna. Okay. So therefore the sattva rajas tamas is part of the world, nature in the external world, and from that only this body is made. So therefore according to that we are also a combination of sattva rajas tamas. If we are SRT, then our nature is more suited for brahmanical work. If you are RSP, more suited for Kshatriya. If you are RTS, more suited for Vaishya. If you are TRS, more suited for Shudrakarma. Service. Shudra is not to be looked down. Now the interesting thing is, SRT, RST, RTS and TRS all are to be kept on a platter equally. Right? Here nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. Each one supplements and complements each other. Are you with me? Unfortunately what has happened over a period of time, because it was not understood properly and for some selfish reasons or whatever, it has been kept in a ladder. So somebody was looked down upon, somebody was looked higher. In terms of work, nobody is superior, inferior. But in terms of guna, you can say somebody is superior. But that superiority doesn't mean they will have superiority complex. If they have superiority complex, then they are actually not superior. Please understand this. This is the thing. So therefore, it is not karma based, it is guna based. Are you with me? So, therefore, these things have to be understood correctly. Without understanding this, people go about criticizing caste system and this and that. Caste system you cannot do. In your organization, for example, would you employ a thinker as a CEO or somebody else? You understand? The guy who is able to think automatically would be at the level of decision-making jobs. But that doesn't mean he should be considered as a god or everybody else. You understand? It's not like that. But yes, he or she has a certain nature. Therefore, he being highly sattvic, who can be calm, composed, and take right decisions in the interest of the organization in which he is included. Are you with me? Then, the other people, they simply surrender to him and do what they have to do. So each one supplements and complements each other. So there will be individual growth as well as organizational growth as well as national growth. That's how it was designed. But unfortunately, all sorts of confusions have come. Now it is better we stop this caste system as it is today. This is madness. Simply because somebody is born Brahmin. You know, that kind of caste system is going on. Therefore, he says, in this whole portion, again, is kind of reiterating that. Find out, having done this experiment, sattva rajas tamas, find out karke,
So obviously these things should have been done long time ago before we plunge into work. So having found out your nature, then accordingly you get into the action of a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Brahma, Shudra, whatever. Then it will help each other. That's the whole concept here. So with this background, let's go to verse 40. Nata dasti prithivyamva
vividevesu vapunah sattvam prakriti jair muktam yadevisyatri bhirgunaihi nata dasti prithivyamva vividevesu vapunah sattvam prakriti jair muktam yadevisyatri bhirgunaihi.
So having explained these seven aspects, now he says, there is no being on earth nor even in heaven. See, remember when the scriptures talk about heaven, it is not a geographical place.
There is no place called heaven. You understand? There is no place called heaven. Heaven means state of mind. So when your state of mind is extremely happy, you are in heaven. So people who are sages, saints, etc., are ordinary people. All of them, he is saying here, are nothing but permutation combination of these three gunas. So there is no being on earth, nor even in heaven, among the gods, because gods are supposed to be in heaven, devas. Devas means higher beings. Who is free from these three gunas? Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. Qualities that are born of Prakriti, matter. So I told you, every human being is a combination of spirit and matter. Spirit has no gunas. Spirit is guna atita, beyond gunas. And matter has these three gunas. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. And we being a combination of spirit and matter, we are either highly sattvic or rajasic or tamasic. And Atman is simply enlivening the gunas. Right? It's just a sakshi chaitanya. It simply enlivens whether you are sattvic or rajasic or tamasic. Right? Atma is only an enlivening factor. When Atma enlivens a sattvic person, he does sattvic activity similarly to rajasic and tamasic respectively. So therefore he says, whoever it may be, till you have not exhausted your vasanas and realized the self, you have sattva, rajas, tamas. Okay, so therefore any being in this universe, from the highest to the lowest, they all come under this category of sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. And therefore, when we understand this, we should not think that, oh my God, I have too much of tamas, what do I do? No problem. You can move from tamas to rajas to sattva. So if you have too much tamas, how do you get out of tamas?
Introspection, meditation.
Tamasic fellow needs to be
shaken.
Meaning, made to act. Through introducing activity. If you see, just an example, supposing in the corner you see some cockroaches. Right? Karma. Nothing happens. Immediately take the jar and clean it. So tamas, through action, move to rajas. And rajas is what? Restless, result-oriented, greedy, passionate action. So what you have to do? You start giving direction to your actions by dedicating those actions for a higher cause, higher goal. So in the case of tamas, introduce action. In the case of rajas, introduce direction. And in the case of sattva, to move from sattva to trans-sattva, what do you do?
Gunati.
To
meditation.
Knowledge. And then meditation. Jnana and Dhyana. Right. So action, then direction, then Jnana and Dhyana. So therefore, this is how one has to proceed in life. Right. So Karma Yoga. Now Karma Yoga, even if it is little result oriented in the beginning, it's okay. Because compared to a tamasic flow, that's better. You understand? And compared to a rajasic person who is result oriented, teach him how to act, not being bothered about result. So in short, what I am saying is,
for a tamasic fellow, even if it is result-oriented, fruit-seeking action, it's okay.
Isn't it?
Exactly. Simply sitting and eating, consuming in others' action, others' contribution, like a leech fully sucking the blood. That's sort of a life tamasic fellow is leading, doing nothing. So introduce desire. Right? When they opened up the market in India, in the mid-90s they opened up the market, no? Before that we could only buy Indian cars. Very few people had imported cars. So you are left with no other choice than Ambassador, Fiat, maybe Maruti, few models. Isn't it? When they opened up the market, now slowly the other cars and everything started coming. Right? So desire comes. Desire comes, then makes you move from tamas to rajas. You understand? So I am saying, even if it is a result-oriented action, kamya karma, it's okay. Even if it is kamya karma, it is okay. Kamya karma means desire fulfilling action. Do you think? But just make sure that it is kamya karma, but not trying to fulfill that kamya karma by even destroying others. Don't get into that. It's okay. You are not destroying anybody, but you are working for the fruit of your life. It's okay. Move from tamas. Then catch hold of that fellow. Teach him karma yoga. You understand? Tell that guy, listen man, you should start doing karma yoga. Be with me. Which is what? What is Karma Yoga? Crux versus that we have seen.
Action dedicated to.
Verse 47, chapter 2. The main crux of Karma Yoga, which you have heard, you know. The start will start. What is that? Karma Yevadikarate, Ma Paleshu Kadachana, Ma Karma Palahe Turbo Ho.
Karmani. Action without thinking of the food.
So introduce Karma Yoga concepts. Slowly the fellow starts moving from rajas to sattva. Right. Then slowly when a person starts getting established there, then tell him, aja. Thoda knowledge, Bhagavad Gita class ko aja. Please start coming, start gaining the knowledge. And as he takes in the knowledge and shifts his gear more and more towards the side, he becomes more and more sattvic and calm. Now you introduce to him dhyanam, meditation. And through that, he goes to trance sattva. Do you understand? So tamasic guy, kamya karma. Rajasic guy, karma yoga. Then sattvic guy, jnanam and dhyanam. Knowledge and meditation. This is how one proceeds in life. So he says, every human being in this universe will come under these three gunas. Because every human being is necessarily something that has come out of Prakriti. And these gunas are part of Prakriti. Therefore, they will have sattva rajas. That's all he's seeing here. Next verse. ब्राह्मणक्षत्रियविशां शूद्राणां च परन्तप कर्माणि प्रविभक्तानि स्वभावप्रभवैर्गुणैः ब्राह्मणक्षत्रियविशां शूद्राणां च परन्तप कर्माणि प्रविभक्तानि स्वभावप्रभवैर्गुणैः. The actions of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. O Parantapa, who is torturer of enemies to Arjuna, are well classified by gunas born of their nature.
See what Sri Krishna is saying. They are very well classified by the gunas born of their nature. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. All the four castes are based on the gunas born of their inherent nature.
And each of them, according to their gunas, certain activities they will be inclined towards and they will be better at it. So if they take that to be better for themselves, for the family, organization and the nation and the world. Therefore, according to that, I am going to talk about religious.
Dualism.
So, actually, in the decision-making position, if a sattvic guy is there, it will be good for everyone. You understand? Because he will be looking at it from the totality standpoint. Slowly, slowly you find as the yugas move from Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali Yuga, you will slowly, slowly see from a selfless guy to the unselfish guy to the selfish person, the whole brain starts coming. And once it starts coming that way, then the whole thing, the confusion starts. So that's why all the confusion nowadays, you see, that's why he says, actions of all these people, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, are well classified by their gunas.
So, if you put the cart before the horse, you don't become a Brahmana. Simply because you do it.
You understand?
So, in fact, if you are a Brahmana, you should not be thinking about what you will get in return. Simply do your actions, which is of studying, teaching, you know, priest work, etc., in the interest of the total. But the moment your mind starts going means there is automatically more rajas and tamas. So then you come under the other categories. So let's see what he classifies as what kind of actions for each category of them.
Shamo dhamastapa shaucham Shantirajamamevacha
Jnanam vijnanam astikyam Brahmakarma swabhavajam
Shamo dhamastapa shaucham Shantirajamamevacha Jnanam vijnanam astikyam Brahmakarma swabhavajam. Nature of Brahmana and their activities are mentioned here. This serenity, self-restraint, Shama and Dhamma. Shama means mind control, Dhamma means sense control. So serenity here means mind control. When will your mind be serene? When the mind is under control. And
What is self-restraint? Restraining the senses by the intellect. And tapaha. Tapaha means austerity. Austerity we have already discussed many times. We said austerity has two aspects to it. What are they? Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channel, and that is number one. And number two is the energy that is conserved thus is directed towards higher. It's called tapas. So if you are predominantly sattvic, then you will automatically be conserving the energy, and the conserved energy will be utilized towards the higher purpose. So that tapaha, so mind control, serenity, shama, sense control, self-restraint, dhamma, and the tapa, austerity, and then he says shaucham, purity. Now you will find this shaucham quality being emphasized so much in our scriptures. Purity, cleanliness, etc. But that shaucham neither inside nor outside here. To be able to bring about the inside shaucham, the outside shaucham is very conducive. Do you agree? There is so much of awareness, discussion, everything that is happening about shaucham. Yet, for it to come into our blood, it's not easy. The way we are maintaining our temples, you know, the approach to temples, and once you inside the temple, how the whole thing is completely against the shaucham. So but yet he is talking about shaucham here. Is it? Shaucham, purity. Then shanti means forgiveness. Forgiveness is giving at the mental level. You understand? You see from that person's point of view. And then you are able to see that he hasn't got that knowledge or perception or that upbringing as a result of which he or she is like this. So clearly the sense, you being a sattvic person are able to see that so and so person is behaving in such a manner only because of rajas and tamas. When it comes to dealing with them, you will maintain a distance, or whatever you have to do, you will do. But the mental level, you will not have any hatred. You will have forgiveness. So that quality is called, is part of sattva. So he says serenity, shama, self-restraint, dhamma, austerity, tapa, purity, shaucham, forgiveness, shanti, and then arjavam, uprightness. Uprightness means straightforward in thought, word and deed. What he thinks is what he says. And what he says is what he does. So in thought, word and deed, there is a straightforwardness. That is called uprightness or jhava. So serenity, self-restraint, austerity, purity, forgiveness, uprightness, and also jnanam and vijnanam. Jnanam and vijnanam. Jnanam, vijnanam is what?
Knowledge and wisdom.
That is English translation. What is it?
Knowledge
of yourself and then use your intellect and revise it. Hmm? You gain the knowledge of what is there.
And then you put it into practice using your intellect. So
it's just
revise.
Yeah. So, jnanam you get from external source.
it's borrowed from outside. Vijnanam you get from inner reflection. Right? So a sattvic person understands that he doesn't know, and he listens and gains jnanam. And he doesn't keep quiet after that. He goes back, reflects, does mananam. Right? And when he does mananam, he removes all the doubts and gets more understanding of what he has received. And then he experiments in his life, putting that into practice and draws vijnanam out of it. So that is what is called jnanam, vijnanam and astikyam. Astikyam means faith. So he says, the brahmana has all these three, jnanam and vijnanam and astikyam. So astikyam means, this faith word, astikyam is translated as faith, but then it's not that superficial faith. It's a faith where he is ready to jump. It's like a parachute. It's not a parachute. It jumps. Why? Because
he knows it is safe.
He is very confident and faithful that when he presses that button, the parachute will open. There are some stray accidents also. But you need to, supposing agar my particular parachute is not going to open, what will happen to me? The thought comes, you will not. Agree with me. To jump from the known to the unknown, you need tremendous faith. And that faith is not something that comes out of ajnana, out of ignorance. That is blind faith. Right? That is not faith. Real faith comes with intellectual conviction. So he's talking about that. That kind of a person who is plunged into the higher. I told you, a brahmana is one who understands the statement what Mahatma Gandhiji says. Yes, there is enough in this world for the need of the people, not for the greed. And also the statement that Vedanta always makes, it says, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. So there is no question of this survival issue for a Brahmana. You understand? Whatever comes, he accepts as prasad. If nothing comes, that also he accepts as prasad of the Lord. If Lord wants me to go through this kind of experience, that is also okay with me. That level of serenity, you understand, that is called brahmanical nature. That is brahmanical nature. So, therefore he says, jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam. All these three he has. And all these are called as characteristic of a brahmana, born of his gunas, born of his nature. So, to the extent we have these characters, to that extent we are brahmins. Right? To that extent only we are brahmins. So we need to develop these qualities. How do you develop these qualities? By moving from tamas to rajas to sattva. And even deep tamas, if you read these books immediately, you won't develop these qualities. So you need to start acting if you are in tamas. Right? Start acting, set the ball rolling. Then slowly, slowly you will begin to understand. Then you will start improving your sattva intent. And then you will get the qualities. Next. Somebody is born sattvic or rajasic or tamasic because of his past. The only thing that we take back when we leave this place is sattva rajas tamas. Nothing else.
And that thing which we will always take back with us, we are doing nothing about. That thing which will not come with us, we are doing everything about. Isn't it? Matthew Arnold says, life is an arrow shot from darkness, flutters in light for a while and disappears into darkness. From where we come, we don't know. Where we are going to go, we don't know. In between, we are here. And when we are here, we see the sattva rajas tamas manifested. So whatever we are putting in the efforts, we are gathering again sattva rajas tamas. So if we really want to better ourselves, we should increase sattva. Isn't it? And usually, this is what majority of us do. Like, when we are in college, that's the best time for us to develop the intellect. Of course, you have all the fun and everything, but keep developing your intellect. But that we never do. Right? And then, now we want to develop the intellect when we have physically grown to the level where we have moved into grihastha ashrama. So there are so many people dependent on us, so we need to provide for them. So you are running, preoccupied, hardly any time. Now within that limited time, you must understand that you must develop the intellect, and then put in that effort and actually develop the intellect becomes more difficult. Are you with me? So what are we doing? We are going on gathering more and more tamas and rajas, and not focusing on development of sattva. According to the scriptures, it is an opportunity given to you to reduce tamas, rajas and increase sattva. And when you keep on increasing sattva, when it becomes 100% sattva, you move from sattva also and become guna atita, you become self-realized Brahman. Brahman is different from Brahmana. You understand? Brahmana is what? SRT. Brahman is
beyond
SRT. Beyond SRT. No gunas. Brahman means no gunas. Beyond gunas. And we use the word Brahmana, Brahmin, SRT. I is Satvik, then Rajas, then Tamas.
Shauryam Tejo Dvithir Dhakshyam. Shauryam Tejo Dvithir Dhakshyam. Yudde Chapya Palayanam. Yudde Chapya Palayanam. Dana Mishwara Bhavascha. Dana Mishwara Bhavascha. Kshatram Karma Swabhavajam. Kshatram Karma Swabhavajam. Shauryam Tejo Dvithir Dhakshyam. Yudde Chapya Palayanam. Dhanamishwara bhavasya chakram karma svabhavajam. Shauryam, prowess, bravery, that is the typical quality of a kshatriya. When you say enemy, you will say where is it? Let me finish him off. So prowess, and there is tejas, splendor, vital and bright, glorious and majestic in action. As a sort of tejas, tejas means the luster. And that luster comes because after rajas it is sattva, not tamas. You understand? So there is this quality of magnanimity, giving. So you hear about kings when you say, and some poets go and sing some song, immediately they give the necklace and this and that. You know, that kind of a nature, lustre. Dhruti, very firm. The typical quality of a kshatriya. Extremely firm, rooted in truth. So, devoted and determined in the execution of his duty and responsibility, firm and consistent. To uphold dharma, a kshatriya, the fact that he is highly rajasic but followed by sattva, he wants to uphold dharma, please understand. He wants to uphold
dharma. Are you with me? So in fact, if you see in the olden times, all the kings in their own kingdom, they had Kula Guru. There will be Guru there. They always, the Kshatriya, firstly the Kshatriya themselves were introduced into the scriptures by the Guru. And then they always had the guidance of the Guru. Right? Sage Vasishji, Sage Vishwamitra, etc. You will find from whom the kings were taking advice. So he says, firm means completely devoted to dharma. And dakshya, dexterous. The kshatriya is an expert. Expert doesn't mean he has to be expert in everything. But whatever he does it with that expertise. How do you get that expertise? If you want to get an expertise in any field, what is required?
Practice, concentration,
determination,
focus.
How do you develop expertise?
The way to knowledge. The way to do it. A combination of all these things.
The yoga, just the meditation to the higher being, and then the yoga.
What is important?
Striving for perfection.
Where you want to reach? Destination.
Anything else? Bhakti. Bhakti is nothing but love. Love is the word we use with reference to the world. Bhakti is the word we use with reference to higher God or work. Then there is bhakti in what you are doing. You understand? Then you develop expertise. Practice, when you do mechanically, you don't develop expertise. With the devotion. Once I, somebody, somewhere I read it, then Rajiv Gandhiji was Prime Minister. He apparently said, how come in India also we are producing the products, say for example name, and you see the name produced abroad, some countries. There is a qualitative difference. Here you drive through the nail, the head may break, this may break, that may break, may not go straight. There is a qualitative difference. So he said, why is it that in India, we can't produce such a product? Like a plug and socket.
Yeah.
It's too expensive, perfect. Here you have to employ somebody to hold your plug in socket, or a pencil, or this, or that. Why is that? Bhakti. When bhakti comes, you become an expert. It's a little different example. When somebody at home, let's say your son or daughter is not really well, something seriously ill, serious illness has happened, birth of it. Out of love for them, you will go to the net, you will catch hold of this person, that person, you will learn those things, you will become an expert in doing things for them. Why? There is so much of love. The love makes you become an expert.
Makes you become
an expert. How the expertise comes, and there is love, you become expert. You understand? So that's what you need to understand. So in the case of a Kshatriya, there is this bhakti. So as a result of that, bhakti means, see, the high content of sattva is there. As a result, ego is dissolved. As a result, he becomes an expert. You understand? So that's what he's saying. Dakshyam, dexterity, dhanam, charity,
generous in disposition, ready to help, share, give, arising from nobility. Dhanam is a typical quality of a kshatriya. Not the quality of grabbing. Dhanam is not with calculated purpose. Okay, if I give this, tomorrow I'll get this. No, not in that sense.
Just giving.
So that's called dhanam. Then Ishvara Bhava, lordliness, princely. See Swamiji, when he talks about the rich category as an aristocrat, he said, even if somebody who's been an aristocrat family, and if he comes down in the level of his richness, even then you will see an aristocrat family guy, when he goes for a movie or anything, he cannot go alone. He'll take 2-3 people with him. He'll be spending. That is aristocracy.
I don't know if the word is aristocracy.
Well, you can use whatever word you want. As long as you understand the principle, it's okay. The point is, he is not saying, I will spend only for me. You understand that? Okay, come on. Okay, 5 people, 6 people, aja. You understand? That sort of a nature. That's what he's saying. Lordliness. You know? See, you may be enjoying the quantum, but you may not be enjoying the lordliness. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, not petty.
You are not a lord over your quantum. Your quantum is actually the Lord, not you. So here when he talks about Kshatriya, he says lordliness. It is above that, right? No, that is called lordliness. There are a lot of stories in our Puranas and everything. Even after, you know, having lost, having been in a certain position, when people come, a servant who's been serving them for many years, when he comes for their wedding, son's wedding or something, you know, they still give. It's not out of ego or anything. The feeling, that lordliness, they never feel the poverty. That's what it means. The other people, in spite of possessing, you still are poor.
There's a very nice Bengali movie called Jal Sagar.
Jal Sagar.
But this is only of the fellow who is a, you know, that lord who in the Bengal, they used to have the landlord sort of had a haveli and all, and he loses all his wealth. But still people regard him, you know, when he sits on his haki and goes, everyone will do salam to him. And this new-rich guy who has a car, everyone throws stones at his car. He asks him that how come he is still getting so much respect and I have now got so much money. So he says it's the old money of his and what he did with it, helping everyone around him. Yeah. He still has so much respect in the village. It's a lovely movie.
Yeah.
My husband
is great. New one?
Old. Black and white. It's not in Cologne. It came on TV just suddenly. It is there on Netflix.
It is?
You like Bengali, you know, you must watch.
Jal Sagar.
Jal Sagar.
Jal Sagar.
I am
that.
Jal Sagar.
Jal Sagar. Bengali, they call it Jal.
Jal, Jal. The way they pronounce it. Yeah. So, that's what he said. These are the qualities. Princely, in a commanding position, a trait opposite to subservience, lordly. He'll take over, you know. When you have the quality of a leadership, in any situation, he'll immediately take over the quality. It's very interesting. You find a person, and there is a situation, immediately there, nobody has appointed them as the leader. Immediately, okay, you do this. Because the trait is there. You know, they immediately take that. That's what he's saying, lordly. Immediately, my state is princely. They take the position. Not to lord over people, not in that sense, but the nature is there. To be able to take over and take the responsibility and be accountable for it. That nature is called Rajasic and Kshatriya. Next, Vaishya. Krishi Gaurakshya Vanityam. Krishi Gaurakshya Vanityam. Vaishyakarma Swabhavajam. Vaishyakarma Swabhavajam. Paricharyatmakam Karma. Paricharyatmakam Karma. Shudrasyapi Swabhavajam. Shudrasyapi Swabhavajam. Krishi Gaurakshya Vanityam. Vaishyakarma Swabhavajam. Paricharyatmakam Karma. Shudrasyapi Swabhavajam. Agriculture, Krishi, Gaurakshya, cattle rearing, Vanijyam, trade, Vaishya Karma, Swabhavajam. Characteristic of Vaishya, born of his nature. He has mentioned few things which are pertaining to those days, right? But basically he is talking about business, trading, etc. All these are characteristics born of a Vaishya. The fact that the person's rajas is followed by tamas, not so much of sattva. Therefore the person would be little bit thinking in terms of labham. Faida kya? You know? The labham is there. So he wants to find some labham from his work. This is not wrong. Are you with me? But that is that person, because after rajas it's followed by tamas. In the earlier case of kshatriya, after rajas it is followed by sattva. So therefore you saw the lakshya, danam, lordliness and all that. Here it is little different. You understand? So there will be a little bit of motive of profit. It is fine. So then he says, service orientation. Paricharyatmakam, service orientation. The fact that tamas is predominant, followed by rajas and then only sattva, they are not that much of a thinking type. They can't think the pros and cons and functions. They are better off taking instructions, right, and following. So they belong to the category of service oriented category. So he says Paricharyatmakam, service orientation, is the karma of Shudra, meaning characteristics of Shudra. This is their nature. So Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all their characteristics were disturbed. And then in 45th verse he says, each one should function according to their Swadharma, helping each other. Remember, this universe is interdependent. A doctor is dependent on the engineer. Whenever anything goes wrong with his diagnostic equipment, he needs the service engineer to set it right. Right? So a doctor needs engineer. And the engineer needs doctor when something goes wrong to his body or the mind. So therefore, each one supplements and complements each other. Nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. So therefore he says in this verse, which is an important verse, each one must follow their swadharma, swakarma. Sve sve karmanya bhirataha, sve sve karmanya bhirataha, samsiddhim labhate naraha, samsiddhim labhate naraha, swakarma nirata siddhim, swakarma nirata siddhim, yada vindati tachruno, yada vindati tachruno, sve sve karmanya bhirataha, samsiddhim labhate naraha, swakarma nirata siddhim, yada vindati tachruno. Devoted each to his characteristic, man attains complete fulfillment. The way to complete fulfillment is swadharma. Following your swadharma, you get rid of the vasanas. And by getting rid of the vasanas, you become one with Brahman, Atman. So therefore he says, devoted each to his characteristics, beings attain complete fulfillment. And also from a relative point of view, your fulfillment comes when your action is underlined by love. Your love in a particular field brings you that satisfaction. You understand? However you may do an action propelled by like, you don't get the same satisfaction. But when the action is done out of love, there is no lay. See, there are two things. Your action could spring from love or a like. When it springs from like, then there is so much of labor feeling. Laborious it becomes. Right? Because there the work becomes a means to fulfill certain likes. I like this, for that I do this work so that I can fulfill the like. No. Then you start feeling the work very laborious, painful, strenuous. But when you love and do it, your nature itself is that. Are you with me? So in Tamil they say karumbu thinda pooliya. Karumbu thinda pooliya means to eat the sugar cane, you are paid also. You are paid. Like the wine testers.
Yeah.
Understand? You are paid. Wine testers don't really drink, they just taste it. But I'm saying, what you enjoy, you're doing, and you're getting also
return.
The returns, the prasad. So, that's what he's saying. Sve sve karmanya. Each one should follow their gunas, their attraction, their love is in that field. Because the nature is like, they will be naturally attracted to that. You understand? So therefore, he says, devoted each to his characteristic, man attains complete fulfillment. How one engaged in one's action attains fulfillment? That do listen. He says, now I will talk to you how doing according to their nature, the actions according to their nature, how we attain fulfillment, that I will talk from now. But if as far as this verse is concerned, or till this verse is concerned, starting from 40 to 45, he is explained very clearly. What? First thing is that every being is made up of sattva, rajas, tamas. Right. And the permutation combination of sattva, rajas, tamas, the way it is arranged, in their gunas, they either become a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. The brahmana's characteristics are this, kshatriyas are this, vaishyas are this, shudras are this. Having understood this, you see where you are, then accordingly you do. And also when you divide activities in your organization or in your society, according to the nature it should be done. It's not according to the birth. No. It's not according to karma. Having said that, what happened in India is, the father, if he was doing a certain work, he taught that expertise to his son from childhood. And the fellow also started doing that. Like that, slowly, slowly, the knowledge of the particular karma was passed on from generation to generation. So brahmana son got into brahmanical work, kshatriya son got into kshatriya work like that. But over a period of time, lot of compromise started happening, right? So the best thing is to go by the gunas. Guna karma vibhavishaha. According to the gunas. And if you are highly vaishya nature, and if you happen to be in administrative work, you are not going to do the administrative work in the interest of everyone. You are going to think, how much work I have to do then? I am getting only this much salary. How I can leverage this position a little more? You understand? The lab mentality starts coming. So Vaishya is best suited to be in business. Once you come into administration, then you better have some kind of kshatriya quality. So that you will not think in terms of love. Are you with me? That's the idea. So therefore he says, you know, he
each one according to their nature should be engaged in karma. Then the satisfaction comes from within and they will be getting rid of their vasanas and moving towards the self as well.
So today most of the politicians and all are actually Shudras.
Maybe different. Maybe not necessarily Brahmana or Kshatriya.
Yeah. Sometimes so today most of the politicians are actually Shudras, not Kshatriya.
That's what I said. That's what even I said.
Mostly, I said mostly.
So that's hugely generalized.
Yeah, most of the politicians.
It is generalizing.
Yes. I'm generalizing. Most of the politicians today. Give me name of very good ones.
But why would in fact, if they were Shudras, we would have been far better.
What? No, I'm talking of the Gunas.
No,
that means tamasic. They are selfish people. I'm talking of that. What Buddha is
vaishya. If I understand.
The worst quality is like would be Shudras, right?
Highly predominantly tamasic, where you need instructions. Generally, a tamasic person is not the thinking type who may fall into. See, tamas also, when you look at tamas from the point of view of clouding the intellect, right? When intellect is being clouded, then the tendency to grab is more than give.
Yeah.
So from that angle, maybe Rita is
ignorance and
but generalizing is a problem. You can't say most. You can't. We don't know. Look at tamasic aspect. Tamas means what? Tamas means what? Avarna. Tamas means what? Tamas means intellect covered by vasanas, desires, more.
And lazy.
Tamasic person, when you studied earlier also, see, anybody can be a grabber. So, tamasic person, when he doesn't have guidance of a sattvic person, his laziness tendency, he would try to get the, what do you call, benefit without having to work for it. This is a typical tamasic quality. But when he is directed by the sattvic person, then he just follows the instruction and does it. He quickly, like, if he is following some instruction, he will try to say, okay, I will complete this quickly, not fully. But when he gets direction, he will does it. So that's why tamasic person should be attached with the sattvic person. Left to himself, his clarity is clouded. Are you with me? So he will try to follow the shortcut method. Left to himself. So therefore we say the sattvic person should be the guide for the other. That's why even I said, even in the case of a kshatriya, they had a kulaguru. Because the moment you lack intellect, which is fortified by the scriptures, the tendency to fall into selfishness is high. Whosoever it is. Nothing to do only with Shudra or Vaishya or anything. Not necessarily that Vaishya also has to be selfish. Are you with me? I said lab mentality. I also said that's not wrong. Are you with me? But if the lab mentality is turning selfish, it's dangerous. But the lab mentality is used for the benefit of others. He keeps a certain lab, but he doesn't compromise on the product quality, maintains a certain principle.
Can we discuss that next time also, Guruji? I'm a bit confused regarding this. Because I thought tamas would be like totally who is ignorant and who has the worst quality. I
tamas is the lowest quality, no doubt.
Yeah.
Rajas is slightly
not
better.
Only in action as physically, because that way the mazdoor or they are the most hard working, you know. So action wise, if they have tamas predominant, action wise they are the most labor class is the
thinking
most
thinking is not there, no? That's why they are
right.
Getting into that.
So that's what, that's how I'm saying these are Shudras, that they have the worst qualities. They are inactive and they, like tamas, I relate tamas with the worst qualities.
Tamas is inactivity, right? Tamas also means lack of thinking, that ability to think is not so much in them because of high content of tamas and not sattva. Are you with me?
Yes.
So therefore, they will be better off taking instructions. That's all we said. But that doesn't mean they are not ignorant. Of course they are ignorant of the higher aspects of life.
But the like the word for like selfishness, greed, that all comes in rajas.
Greed would come in rajas.
Rajas. And but then the Kshatriya people have Rajasic more, which is better than Tamasic, right?
Yes.
Like they are RST. So then that is better than Tamas in action.
See,
so that is
more sattva. As a result of the, see, if you see, RST fellows should be in Kshatriya work, administrative work.
Yes.
Because there is good amount of sattva. As a result, they will keep the dharma in mind.
But if it's RTS, then it's worse, no? Because then they will go in other direction.
I told you.
Action, but it will be negative.
That is why.
Bad action.
That is why.
That's what I meant by saying that the politicians are like action and the worst kind of action.
Anyway, let's not get into any particular segment. Understand today, it's all jumbled across confusion. Why go to politicians? What about CEOs?
Yeah.
What about CEOs of an organization? How many of them can put the...
They
are more inclined to take instruction. Follow instruction. That doesn't mean they need not be selfish. They can be selfish. Why are you presuming that they will not be selfish? Service oriented. You took the word service to be service minded. Not necessary. They are service oriented means they are not able to get into the work which involves a lot of thinking. You understand? That doesn't mean they will not be selfish. They will do laborious work and they can be selfish also.
A nurse who does everything for a patient day and night, does everything for the patient, right? And I think she's of the highest, she's one of the highest quality. If she's a nice,
then she'll be
sattvic. No, but if she's doing service, but from inside she's sattvic, like, so what, how would we categorize her?
Sattvic is service also, sattvic
means so she's in service.
Understand, service mindedness comes with sattva. Service orientation, when he said, is not about service mindedness. They are two different things. Service oriented, meaning they are not inclined to be better thinkers because of the high content of tamas. Are you with me? Therefore, they can't think. As a result, they end up taking instructions and following instructions. And when I asked the question in the beginning, when you develop your intellect, not just your intellectual capabilities, she did answer by saying, when you develop the intellect, you will also be taking care of your body and the mind. Are you with me? So similarly, when you develop the intellect, meaning sattvic intellect, that's what I mean. You develop the sattvic intellect, are you with me? Then you, even if you and you are in a brahminical field, you will not be using it for selfishness, because sattva high content means service mindedness.
Yes,
me. But if you are tamasic, let's say, and you happen to take it for convenience or whatever purpose, because you are born in that family, you have certain things, but your nature is highly tamasic. You understand? You won't be having that kind of clarity in the interpretation of those verses, etc. And the fact that you have this kind of nature, you need not necessarily be doing it with the idea of dharma at all. It could be for selfish purpose also. That is the danger.
I just have one question. Like there is a nurse, you know, who is doing the whole day, morning till evening, this work of looking
out. So, number one. When you say X job, you are giving the example of a nurse. So as per karma, let's say it is Shudra karma. Number one. As per?
And she is also...
One minute. As per?
Guna.
Karma.
Karma.
As per karma, it is either Shudra karma or Vaishya karma or Kshatriya karma or Brahmana karma.
Right.
Now next. If they happen to be...
Right.
If they happen
to be Brahminical or Kshatriya tendency.
Yes.
When they are nurse, they will be minimum service minded.
No, like the same nurse, supposing if she is of a sattvic good,
that's what I am saying.
So then she will do beyond it because she will be doing out of seva. If she is doing out of rajasic, she is doing it as a job, I get my job from 9 to 5.
No, but she is doing it a very nice seva. She wants to remain as that, but she is also very learned. She is everything. So what would she be categorized as? Brahman?
No.
Kshatriya, Vaishya or
Shudra?
Wait a minute, so then she can be called a Brahman also in spite of being a nurse if she is of the highest quality of human being.
No, only if she is doing it out of seva bhava. I think it's not guna. It's the same.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but there can be a second case. There can be three cases. I think there's a nurse also. You can have a nurse who is doing it out of seva bhava. There can be a
nurse. I'm talking about a particular nurse. I'm just to, for my clarity, particular nurse who is nurse by profession. Yeah, she is doing that, but by in her nature, she is the most sattvic person. She is not the only bothered about the money. She will do for everybody. She will go. She will give you in her spare time.
She has
Guna Rupa Sattva. Yeah, so she can be called a Brahman. A Brahman is right. That yeah. So that is the thing. It's not he just because she is a nurse.
No, that's not it. Must be also something.
No, only in that context when you are thinking Vaishya, not talking of the people.
So a nurse can also be Vaishya Guna, but supposing she is nurse, not the job of a nurse, but supposing she don't know, nobody is looking, the patient is ringing the bell, I don't need to go, nobody will come in. You know, where her intention is not really service, it is
her husband,
then so Guna would be Tantra.
Right?
Yes.
I'm not. They are
mighty
Brahmans.
Yeah.
Same
thing. Same. So the Guna would not be according to
according
to the
because
it's
how you
do
that.
Or your intention
is not by karma. Guna, how you would
determine
not by karma.
Now I am clear.
So, don't go by karma, go by Guna.
Yes.
By karma maybe they are doing what is considered to be Shudra.
But actually no,
it's not
the
person.
No.
Today that the person is very good. Tomorrow she may see that same person becomes horrible.
Not no, not because of the
nurse's intention. No, nurse, I'm talking of a person who I just wanted a clarity that if she's doing a nurse's job and she's of the highest level of person.
Gunas mein aa gaya na.
Oh, ha, then she can be a Brahman.
Aap jharu laga sakte ho. But I was leaving every corner. I will be wrong about it. Then it becomes loud, you want to do it.
No. If she is higher, this lady is nurse by profession, but she is in her guna, that is a Brahman. She can be called a Brahman, not a Shudra. Understand?
Okay.
Yeah, now I get it.
So karma is
Guna. 1 minute.
Would it be acting?
Amiji, you said somebody is acting.
That would not be acting.
You said one thing. They have been unselfish all their life. Suddenly they turn selfish. No. They are being selfish. They have been pretending.
No, I didn't say that. I think they are always acting.
So then according to that,
you are Guna. So that's the worst Guna.
You understand?
Yeah.
So what I am trying to tell you is, the nature of a person cannot move from circle, cannot move from gross to subtle. Sorry, cannot move from subtle to gross. If you have turned unselfish, you can never become selfish to that extent. If you have become selfless, you can't get back to selfishness. From selfish, you can go to selflessness. But once you have turned selfless, how can you turn selfish tomorrow? That means you have never turned. That's what it is. Anyway, so the point I'm trying to tell you is, never judge a person by the karma. The gunas are different. And gunas are not what you perceive. If you are having jaundice, you perceive everything yellow. That doesn't mean it is yellow. Independent thinking may you find out the gunas. Right, then you will know who is sattvic and rajasic. Om
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।